This agreement is a big deal. I can't tell you how many times someone has come up to me and said, you have to do something about property taxes. I just can't afford to stay in my home anymore. Today, we're saying we have an agreement to finally do something about it.
Governor Cuomo there, and the today he was referring to was Tuesday, but today, Friday, the story isn't so clear. Yes, the governor was able to reach an agreement, bridging a divide with Republican supporters to cap property tax growth at 2%. But with only two legislative days left in Albany, the bill has yet to come to the floor. We know Governor Cuomo supports this, but earlier this week, we heard the case against property taxes from two other governors. We will play clips of former Governor Spitzer and Connecticut's Dan Malloy coming up. But now let's hear from a property tax supporter. Heather Bruschetti is acting president of the Business Coalition of New York State. Ms. Bruschetti, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me on. It's actually the Business Council of New York State.
Forgive me, Business Council of New York State. And lots of people hear property tax, and they probably think about their own residential property taxes, of course. Your organization represents business, small and large, around the state. Is this cap more for the benefit of the business community than for its residents?
It's for both. You know, New York currently has the highest local taxes in the country. They're 78% over the national average. And businesses pay nearly 44% of the total tax levy in New York, which is about $21 billion.
Are property taxes that big a priority for business? Aren't other concerns like infrastructure, education base, population centers, and so on more important?
Well, when we poll our members, the number one issue it goes back and forth between property taxes and the cost of health insurance. Our businesses want to be able to grow and expand in the state, and they want to be able to provide health insurance to their employees. And in both instances, the costs in New York State are completely out of whack with other parts of the country.
So Governor Cuomo is promoting this. As I mentioned, former Governor Spitzer was on the show earlier this week, and I asked him, do you support Governor Cuomo's 2% growth property tax, 2% property tax cap? And for people who don't know what it means, the reason I'm stumbling around on that is 2% means property taxes could not go up in any locality more than 2% in any given year, except under certain circumstances. So does Spitzer support this? Take a listen.
Look, I'm weary of property tax cap that is rigid, that does nothing to recognize that with inflation in excess of 2%, with health care costs rising, with education costs rising, you're essentially intentionally, by doing that, starving communities that will need to invest in education for us to be competitive.
Starving communities that will need to invest in education for us to be competitive. How do you respond to that?
We respond that there are a lot of other avenues that these communities can look to try and alleviate the cost drivers. We believe that pension reform is a necessity, and that is something that will stop the out-of-control growth in local real property taxes. You know, in the last 2 years, during the dramatic decline in real estate values, the values in New York depreciated 6%, and the real property taxes on assessed value increased 12%. So there's something that is completely out of control, and we believe that a cap on local real property taxes is a good place to start. We also recognize that there's a lot of mandate relief that is necessary. You can't just accept as a given that we're just going to have to keep paying and keep paying without taking a look at what you're getting for what you're paying, and also other avenues to try and control the cost drivers at the local level. And by the way, the Consumer Price Index has been below 2%. It was in 2009, I think it was 0.4% decline, and in 2010, it was 1.5% increase, so both under 2%.
Well, there's a group called it's an anti-property tax cap coalition. I'll get the title in a second. There it is, the New York State Coalition for Local Control. And they sent me a press release, and one of their arguments is that the legislation has a provision that allows 40% of the voters in a local school district, just 40%, a minority, to block their school district's proposed tax increase if it exceeds the 2%. And so these coalition members say that's not democracy.
Well, that's sort of turning it on its head. What the legislation says is that you need 60% to approve a budget that exceeds the cap. And, you know, currently school budgets get very, very few people participate in school budget votes. And unfortunately, one of the results has been that there's a situation where in a 10-year period, we've seen real property taxes increase 73% at the same time that the rate of inflation was only 30%. So the reality is that there's still an opportunity to override the cap. It just changes the starting point of the discussion.
And the argument against this aspect of the proposal, another argument, is that in wealthier districts, taxpayers might vote 60% to overrule the cap if they want to lavish spending on their schools because they can afford it. This won't happen in poorer districts, and all of a sudden the gap in funding between wealthy and less wealthy school districts will grow even more. Are you not concerned about that?
Of course we're concerned about that. We believe that there are a number of things, and this is not just about school districts, but there are a number of things that can be done to try and address the inequities in local school districts, including consolidation, shared services, you know, taking a hard look at pension costs and healthcare contributions moving forward. The School Boards Association came out with a checklist of 7 items that could be adopted that would provide significant mandate relief to local districts. Obviously, if a wealthier district votes to exceed the cap, that's their prerogative. I think if you were to look at the median real estate taxes in the country and the top 10 counties based on value, they're almost, I think 9 out of the top 10 are in upstate New York. One of them is in New Jersey. None of them are the wealthy, so-called wealthy downstate Long Island and Westchester school districts.
There's, I mentioned that it's been Governor Week on the show, and in addition to former Governor Spitzer, we had Connecticut Governor Dan Malloy, who is also not a fan of a property tax cap and points to California as a cautionary tale.
I mean, I think property tax caps have been proven disastrous. If there's not sufficient carve out for education, I mean, quite frankly, all you need to do is to point to California, to the impacts on local education expenditures and the and educational systems, as well as the hospital system out there, and understand how difficult that can be.
And what he was referring to there was California's famous or infamous, depending on your point of view, Proposition 13 property tax cap in 1978, pegging rates at 1% of property value. Since then, their school systems have been severely underfunded by many accounts, plummeted to 46th in the country when it comes to K-12 achievement. Used to be much higher in California. It's not the only factor in the state, but aren't we headed that way if this passes?
No, I don't think so. I think comparing New York to California is you know, like comparing apples to gorillas. I mean, it's not the same thing. If you look closer to home in Massachusetts, they have operated under a property tax cap for a number of years with a very high degree of success. In fact, their outcomes, their educational outcomes, have increased and improved significantly. We do not have good educational outcomes, and our per capita spending is more than any other state.
There's a line of argument out there, though, that says the property tax cap is a blunt instrument that tries through brute force to deal with very complex issues of civic funding. And then there's another line of thinking out there that says brute force is exactly what we need, that there's no way legislators are going to curb spending unless there is a hard cap on the amount of money that they have to spend. Then we'll see the pressure on the pensions and the health care spending, like we saw agreed to in New Jersey yesterday. Is the property tax cap really a way to rein in spending rather than provide tax relief? Will it really force that?
Well, I would first disagree with characterizing it as either a blunt instrument or not. I think that this property tax cap allows a carve-out for pension growth that exceeds the cap, and it also provides an opportunity for the local voters to vote to exceed the cap if they so choose. So to argue that, you know, it's this or nothing is really not a valid argument. But beyond that, we do believe that, you know, we've tried to have a conversation about fiscal reform, pension reform, controlling the growth in local taxes and in spending for many years with no success. You know, the result has been a 73% increase in real property taxes in a 10-year period. So we think that we need to change the starting point of the conversation. We'll start with the assumption that our local real property taxes cannot grow more than 2% a year, and then if it's necessary, then we start the conversation there, rather than the reverse, which is always assuming that we need to grow and grow and grow.
Why is 2% the magic number?
Well, I mean, I think we actually supported the 4% cap that was previously floated. I think 2% is obviously a lower cap, but then with the pension carve-out, it averages out, depending on whose numbers you look at, to somewhere around 2.9% because of the expected growth in pension costs in the next few years. But, it's the number that the governor's folks, when they drafted the bill, thought was a reasonable number. I can tell you that I have a large member large section of my membership that would support a 0% cap and start the conversation there. But I think, factoring in inflation increases in the CPI, which, as I mentioned, it was 1.5% in 2010, 2% is a reasonable starting point.
What about the idea of local control in our democracy? Why should the state have the power to impose a 2% property tax cap on the people of every locality in New York?
Well, the state provides aid to localities, and when the local government's spending increases, they're asked to provide more in funds to the local government.
But they're cutting school aid now because of the fiscal crisis at the state level, and there are still these unfunded mandates that help push up the costs for the localities. So why shouldn't they have
the
power on their own to tax themselves?
At the local level, you will find a lot of your local officials do not have the political fortitude to impose fiscal restraint upon themselves. It's do or die. They have to raise taxes. They know that the voters generally don't turn out for the school board, school elections, and local budgets. So
right.
They're in a position where there's nothing reining in the local side of the formula.
I appreciate your time and sharing your views. We have literally 15 seconds left. I know you're up there in Albany lobbying. Is this going to pass?
Yes, it's going to pass.
In connection with the rent laws?
Absolutely.
Today?
I don't know about that. I think more likely sometime between now and Tuesday.
With sunset tied to the rent laws?
That's where the discussion point is. But yes, I think the two live or die together.
Heather Bruschetti, Acting President of the Business Council of New York State. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.